It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night. And we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight, in particular, the end of an IU basketball season the same fashion we've been seeing for the last couple months, and that is a disappointing loss, this one in their home jerseys, but on the road at Georgia Tech. 75-63, the final in the first round of the NIT, and I couldn't have thought of a better way to sum up this season than to lose that particular game in that particular fashion. Before we go too far, though, just let you know, we're only with you until 6:30 tonight before we turn you over to the NCAA tournament. The first four games, the second night of the two, coming up here at 6:30 on WGCL. And, of course, we'll have all kinds of NCAA basketball over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, starting at noon, ending around midnight or later if we need to, all four nights. So that's what's going on here on WGCL. Stick with us for the next half hour as we summarize IU season in Glass. It's pretty much what we come to expect from the rest of this season. 16 turnovers, just sloppy with the ball. Only 63 points, shot 38%, 5 of 19 on threes. In it in the rebounding battle. But at the end of the day, the offense sputters against a defense that threw different looks at it. They look like they didn't know what they wanted to do or could do against the zone half the time. And it's another disappointing showing where they can't do what they want to do, and that is the high-caliber offense.
Yep, couldn't impose their will, and that's what happens to it. Dig yourself a nice 19-6 hole, 17-4, whatever it was. And you just dig it, and you give a team that's lost 5 of 7 that you're going up against some confidence. They had 900 students there that Josh Pastner paid for out of his pocket, making a racket, a house of 5,500 people. That's a good Northwestern game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the crowd shouldn't have bothered Indiana, but Indiana bothers Indiana because you saw, again, passes to nobody, dribbling off feet, passes to feet, the ball getting lost late in the clock.
Bounce passes that went directly to people's shins.
Nobody having an idea where the shot clock is at after dribbling around for 25 seconds. It was nothing new. You're exactly right. And the way it ended was hardly a surprise, as Indiana couldn't find a way to stop the bleeding. As you heard in the montage there before the hour from Joe Smith's reports this morning, Indiana led in the game for 1 minute and 54 seconds in an elimination game, and a game they chose to play on the road. Nothing worked out there. You had some no-show performances again. That's been the case. The turnovers have been the case.
Yep.
And to put this in perspective, Indiana lost 10 of their last 14 games. Those four wins, let's just go through those real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Three career highs, triple overtime win against Penn State.
Yep.
So essentially you needed a miracle.
Here.
Northwestern, down 7 with 70 seconds or whatever,
half,
it was,
yeah.
Whatever it was. 98%, according to ESPN's index, of loss percentage in that game. And you found a way to win. You go to Ohio State and you score 96 points, the most the building has ever seen.
By 12.
And then you score 95 points against Iowa in the Big Ten tournament, the second most points ever in a Big Ten tournament. It's been around for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So your four wins were the extremest of the extreme.
You scored out of 95 points in three of them.
110, 96, 95. Yeah. That's what it took for Indiana to win.
To win anything.
In the last 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
That's what it took. It took a troika of career highs against Penn State, who isn't in the NIT.
Lost a game they scored 90 in.
Penn State's not in the postseason.
Yeah.
Ohio State's not in the postseason. I was number one seed in the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia Tech was 17-15 and lost 5-7 and was 8-10 in league play. I guess we were 7-11, so their league's a little bit different there. But that's the point. The point was all those close losses that everybody accepts with hard play and everything else, those four wins were on a knife edge from not winning once in your last 14 games?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about that. People are mad because they're holding up signs on the sideline that say, don't hop.
Mm-hmm.
People are mad because they're not hosting NIT games. You want to get mad? Look at the way they had to win those four games. They had to play perfect.
Yeah.
They didn't have any margin for error.
They
had to score 95 points
by 13
points. Times
yeah.
or more.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way they won basketball games. That's what you should be angry at.
Yeah.
You should be angry at 7-11. Mm-hmm. You should be angry that the best teams you played with, OG Anunoby, you were 2-4 in those games, and three of them were at home.
Yeah.
That's what you should be upset about. You shouldn't be upset about there's not a game, an NIT game at the Assembly Hall, at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
That's just adding insult to injury.
You shouldn't be upset that there hasn't been any word today about anything. Well, the guy told you that you're not worthy enough to be a fan in his building. What do you think he's going to do, come out and appease you with something to say?
Right.
Get your head together. Get mad at the right things, Indiana fans. You look stupid. You look dumb. You want to make fun of Crean pulling up his pants? Go ahead. Look at his record. It's 40-38 in 4 years in the league. Yeah. Make fun of that.
No, we like the
low-hanging fruit.
The memes on Twitter and stuff. No,
that's those are all the people who don't go to the game.
Yep.
And those are all the people that said, well, we're not having a game here because you're not going to show up and you're not going to provide a college atmosphere. It's good enough for this team.
Yeah.
That's what I just told you. So get mad at the right things. Get mad that Indiana needed four unbelievable performances to not lose 14 consecutive games to end the season.
Yeah, exactly right. And yeah, if you want to make fun of him because he is awkward at times and far too caffeinated at times and shows up late to press conferences and things like that, I mean, I get it. But you're right. The record speaks for itself. And there's a pair of Big Ten championships on there, but clearly, two of those in 9 years is not what Indiana fans expect. They expect more than that.
Two McDonald's All-Americans playing those games.
And they expect them to go farther than that in the NCAA tournament. And those aren't unrealistic expectations. I mean, you're not going to be in the Final Four every year, but it's not unrealistic to expect them to play good basketball and look good, at least halfway good doing it. Now, I'm not sure somebody like, you know, the Virginia team where they just slow everything down and make it look like
Villanova
crap.
Lost
the way
their
to go, but
Villanova lost their best recruit post player.
Mm-hmm.
And their two guard.
Yep.
Starting two guard.
Yep.
They're 31-3.
Yeah.
And the number one overall seed in this tournament.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about important stuff, let's talk about important stuff.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Ron.
Hello, Ron. How are you?
Good. How are you, fellas?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
Just wanted to talk about Glass and no home game for the NIT.
Fire away, my man.
He's given some reasons why he doesn't want, he didn't want the home game. And all those don't fly with me, or I don't think with you fellows either.
No, they sure don't.
I think the reason why he didn't want a home game is that the NIT didn't want Tom Crean to have another game at IU Assembly Hall.
Well, that could be possible, but if Tom Crean's your head coach come opening day next year, I don't know what the
still got to play those games.
Got to still play that whole season next year as well. And the answer he gave was optics. He said Indiana, we don't want it to look the way it's going to look. We feel that Indiana's students are a big part of our home environment and home atmosphere, and they're on spring break this week. Well, there's 40,000 students here, and 7,800 have season tickets. So I bet you could have rounded up 900 students like Josh Pastner did at Georgia Tech and paid their way in the door if you wanted an environment.
Good job, Ron. We appreciate it.
It just goes to the totality of everything. If we're mad we're not hosting NIT games, don't get in the NIT.
Look, it's
– good job, Ron.
It is perfectly reasonable to think that if we hosted an NIT game, it would be a morgue in there and there'd be people booing everything left, right, up, and down because we're doing it during the course of the season. So I don't think that's unrealistic. The problem is that's what you're left with at this point. I mean, that's
the
what you've gotten to.
The balcony was empty the last few home games.
That's what you've kind of devolved down into.
But it still bothers me to split the fan base into haves and have-nots.
I agree with that.
That stinks.
Yeah.
He essentially told everybody in this region who is – not
you're
on spring
around.
Break,
exactly right.
And who's an IU fan that's not a season ticket holder, that they don't count.
Yeah,
they would not provide an atmosphere.
Yeah, that their chance.
But but they come out and they shove winter break games down your throat about, hey, here's the chance to see your Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see Savannah State and Alcorn State and Alpine State.
Well, and
I mean, you can't have it both ways.
Those
are the people that have to show up at the wintertime break.
I'll be more practical about it even. You could have paid a lot of the regional people to put on a game for us. You know what? Your money could have gone to them instead of something else, and you chose to go ahead and send it to them.
And again, that's not even
at least give a few people a paycheck.
That's not even
else.
That's the but the bigger picture is you're in the NIT. Why?
Yeah,
that's the problem. I don't care that the game's not here. I don't care what your reasons for the game's not here. You're in the NIT.
Well, and more to the point, You're in the NIT, and you know nobody's going to show up, and it's going to be a Morgan there. And why is that? Because nobody has any interest in the way it's going right now.
You're in the NIT because you lost 10 of your final 14 games, and the four games you won were essentially miracles to some degree.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Your NIT bracket is no doubt blown to smithereens after last night. 1-2, three threes, four lost. I'm sure you had a lot of money on it, too. Stay tuned here. We've only got about 10 more minutes here, and we're turning it over to the national broadcast of the NCAA tournament. The first four is tonight, and so we've got to get on with all of that. Here shortly. The games for you. You got UC Davis against North Carolina Central. That's the other pair of 16s playing to get in, and the other pair of 11s playing to get in. The nightcap are USC and Providence. If you'd like to watch Emmett Holt or listen about Emmett Holt, he is at Providence, you can do exactly that. So we are shutting down the phone lines because we only got a few minutes here left. We have to leave early tonight, but we'll have all of next week's shows, Monday and Wednesday, to talk about all of this, and we certainly will, and maybe we'll even have movement of some sort by then. Of course, the offseason now brings all kinds of questions. First and foremost, who's not going to be back, and when do we find out about it? And top of that list has to be the coach. He's in charge. It's a disappointing season. We've had a few of those over the years, and the more you look back on it, the more you see those Big Ten championships as the anomalies. That's a fact. Two out of nine, rather. That's what an anomaly looks like. Those are nice seasons. They're great seasons, but that's what they were, is the anomalies. So the question becomes, is now time to make a move and do something different? And, you know, to me, the whole thing comes down to if you need to know more about the state of the program, you pretty much confirmed it by moving this game out of here. Moving it isn't the end of the world. I mean, I get what you're saying there. You're right, Glass. I mean, I don't care so much. I mean, I, again, I'd like to see the paycheck here. You'd like to have the game if you got it, all that kind of thing. But the point is, you knew it would be a crap crowd because nobody's interested at this point in time. And that's the attitude people have right now around here about the program the way it is right now. And I don't know a better indication of whether there should be a change of some sort. I don't think Tom Crean is the worst thing that everybody says about him by any stretch. But there comes a time in programs and coaches in programs where it's time to be done with the two of each other and move on to something else. And I got a feeling, I got to think at least, that they're, you know, the Creans probably are just fine moving along too. So, to me... It's the offseason. Let's get it done. Let's move on. Let's find something else to do. Let's try something else.
Tom Crean has 3 years left on his contract, and that's where it is. So people demanding something be said about this. I don't know if Fred Glass has to say anything. The coach is under contract, and again, until Fred Glass says something or doesn't say anything, that's what you have to have.
Do you buy into the whole recruiting thing that you need 4 or 5 years on a contract to recruit?
No, I don't believe that one bit. Josh Pastner put together a team in his first season at Georgia Tech that had enough chutzpah.
Well, I mean contract-wise.
Well, he's been working on a 10-year deal for how long? And
no, I know. A lot of people say, though, you got to have your
contract.
You got to
have 5 years out or 5 years out. Sure. You know, contracts are a marker. That's all they are. They get negotiated. They get unnegotiated. They get bought out. They get severance. They get negotiated the wrong way out. It doesn't matter. And I don't think in this day and age of people – graduate transfer hopping and coach hopping. And, you know, Kwanzaa Martin, he just wanted to be closer to home. So he upped and left Cal after 3 years and said the hell with it. Yeah. So if this happens everywhere, I don't think that's a big deal at all. What the issue for Indiana basketball is, what I want to hear, tell me that he's the coach, tell me he's not the coach, that's fine. I want to hear, and I've said this before during this tenure, I want to hear what Indiana basketball is supposed to be because I'm tired of being confused. I'm tired of trotting out flashes and videos and propaganda about how great these recruits are. I'm tired of hearing about all the Mickey Mouse stuff that goes with it. Are you about winning social media? Are you about winning games? Are you about winning press conferences? Well, what are you about? Just let me know. If the goal of Indiana basketball is we are going to compete as hard as we can with the kids that we can get, and we're going to graduate everybody, and we hope to win every once in a while, just tell me that. Mm-hmm. I'm cool. Because a lot of people have an idea of what Indiana basketball they think it should be. You haven't won a title in 30 years. You've been to one Final Four since 1994.
Yeah.
Perception, reality, all that stuff kind of blends together. So if you're going to compete for championships, let me know what kind. Because competing for league championships and competing for national championships take two very different things. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. We've seen a Big Ten championship followed with a 17 and 15 year.
Yeah.
We've seen a Big Ten championship followed with an 18 and 16 year.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a year in between that where you sneak in the back door at the last minute and you get, in the 8-9 game against Wichita State or whatever that was. Mm-hmm. Again, you're barely in the tournament.
Right.
So back to your point about the outlier, yeah. But here's the deal. That's fine. If that's the culture and expectation you are promoting. If you're promoting a culture that Indiana is a traditional power and Indiana is a destination job and you've got a $40 million renovated stadium and a $20 million practice facility, $1 million recruiting budget, unlimited travel, private jets, five-star hotels, and you're finishing a 7-11 in the league and you're 40-38 in the league in 4 years, people get mixed messages.
I get mixed messages from everybody because I hear from fans that they want everybody to do everything right, you know, whether that's the academic thing, that's the graduating, that's not getting in trouble, all that sort of thing, and that's the most important thing.
They got in trouble for 2 years here.
I understand.
They got in trouble.
And everybody wanted them fired at that point because of that.
But
then they go the other direction. They say, why aren't you getting recruits like Duke and Kentucky get? Why don't you compete with those big boys? You've got this recruiting budget. Why aren't you pulling those in? And those are all legitimate requests. I mean, Have you heard from
anybody in the program that said, this is what we are, this is what we strive to be, and this is how we're going to do it? Really don't. When the going's great, we puff out our chest and tell everybody we're back and how great it is.
Right.
And when it's going poorly, it's everybody sick, hurt, unlucky, bad, didn't shoot it well, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me how Wisconsin's been to 19 straight tournaments.
Sure.
They've been lucky 19 years in a row. That's the point. They're doing something there that works. And why do I pick on Wisconsin? Because they were a doormat for 40 years.
Yeah.
An absolute doormat.
Yeah.
Indiana was a power for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going the other direction.
Yeah.
So I think it's a fair asking question. Why is it continuing to go that direction? How can you maintain a consistent program? How many Wisconsin guys are in the NBA? We talked about this on Monday.
Well,
five,
not many.
Four?
Not many.
You know, it's not Kentucky where you get 17 McDonald's All-Americans every 2 years.
Nope.
They found something that worked and put it together.
They run it in a way where they're not competing for the top recruits every year. They're getting guys that stick in their program for 4 years.
So that's my point.
There are some teams that do that.
Figure out a style that works.
Right.
And after 9 years, it doesn't seem like, in my opinion, Indiana has been congruent in that attack.
Well,
some years they get big players, and some years they got to develop.
We've got a minute or two. Which do you want? Do you want to be the team that's competing top four in the league and hopefully doing something in the Big Ten or in the NCAAs every year?
Absolutely.
Or do you want to be shooting at the kind of recruits that we're talking about with Duke and Carolina and Kentucky? And if not, I mean, why couldn't we do that? I mean, we're in on a couple of them.
I would take the Wisconsin route and be happy with it.
Consistency.
Top
consistency.
Top four in the league 12 years in a row.
I mean, I'm not telling you wrong. I'm just asking.
I'm just exacerbated by that.
Yeah.
There's not one excuse year in there.
Right.
There's 19 straight years of the tournament. 19.
Yeah.
A generation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds pretty good. That's what Indiana used to be. And when you put it together that consistently, you do grab some extra players that you might not have grabbed before because you're always winning.
Well, they're not competing for top 10 guys. I mean,
that's the point. You do it one way. You can't do it the other way, because the other way is Duke gets everybody every year. Kentucky gets everybody every year. Carolina gets everybody every year. Kansas gets everybody every year. They have guys that they're only a finite group of that you have to get. So, no, I don't think you can do it like Kentucky, like Carolina, like Duke. I don't think you can do that because you don't have the coaches they have.
Right.
You don't have the recent tradition they do. You go ask a kid now about Indiana basketball, what do you hear about?
Yeah, not much.
Well, that's the issue. So figure it out.
Is it okay if you're Wisconsin to go to two Final Fours with one team in 20 years?
If you're Wisconsin,
in that scenario,
yeah,
I'm asking.
But if you're
IU and you're looking for consistency, does the Final Four matter to you?
The Final Four has to be a byproduct of what you've done to get to that point.
Right.
And if you're doing it right and doing it well, that's what it's going to be. So the short answer is yes. We've got all week next week to talk about that, and that's what we shall do. Time to roll. Sorry about that. We don't have a clock that's our normal clock, so we've got 15 seconds.
We'll get out of here right now then. We'll be back Monday, 6 o'clock, so tune in then. NCAA basketball all weekend starting right now.
Just about.
Talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.